Hey everybody, and welcome to this episode of Frank About Health. In honor of Mental Health Awareness Month, this is the second episode where I'm focusing on mental health. But in this particular episode, it's also going to look at the stress management issues that are available to us all if we choose to use them effectively. That all being said, I'm sure those of you who listened to last week's episode, we had Sam Leibowitz, our conscious consultant, speak with Dr. Phyllis Quinlan, who, by the way, is not here today due to Nurses Appreciation Week. So we miss her and we know she'll be here next week, but she's definitely here in spirit. And he also had a show today with another guest of mine from last November, Dr. Dorothy, and they were talking about transformational healing. And so today we're just trying to keep on the whole trend of mental health awareness, learning to cope with whatever ails you emotionally, or whatever triggers stress from various areas of your life, whether it's work related, personal related, health related. And of course, we have all been dealing with stress after COVID-19. So, that all being said, I want to introduce our guest today, Jessica Harrington, no relation. And either way, she has a lot of exciting things to share. And another introduction was made where she and I were introduced by Sam. So we're on the same trend and we're on the same wave of thought in terms of doing what we can to help advocate for each other's quality of life and maintain our stress levels to be functional. So that all being said, Jessica, welcome to Frank About Health and share some of your story.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Frank, for having me. I know this was super last minute, so I do appreciate you being accommodating. That's awesome. That's
Sure.
going with the flow, something that I teach. So that's really awesome.
Yes.
Not easy to do. So I do appreciate you.
Oh,
So
that's
yes, I am a stress management coach. So I have my master's in public health. I started my career in the drug and alcohol field, and I realized a lot of factors was for a lot of my clients relapsing or my patients relapsing was because of stress, right? So whether we were teaching them new tools or new habits and they were, putting them into the real world and they didn't know how to deal with it,
right.
or they started their addiction because of a stress life situation that happened to them. So my mind was there was something I had to do. So I went off and decided to get my master's in public health. And I really started taking this practice of what is stress? What are we doing on a daily basis? And kind of just bringing it into the quote unquote normal day life of what we're doing and how we can really help take care of ourselves every day.
Excellent. I mean, now, have you therefore gotten involved in stress management as looking at it as an illness in itself or as symptoms of other illnesses, other mental health illnesses?
I would say it's separate, but yeah, it definitely falls into a lot of other things, right? It definitely correlates with a lot of things. I define it as a reaction to change, and so meaning that it is something that happens every single day. It's more of how we're perceiving that stress. So that's my biggest thing is helping you change your relationship with stress.
Awesome. I mean, I gather the thing is that we have all, prior to COVID-19, been living with stressful situations, whatever they may be. But I think if there was ever one time for any of us in our lifetime to really understand that the stress indications as they were rising was actually the normal, I mean, it becomes a pathology unto itself. I mean, I gather it is a matter of public health. So, I mean, it's very fitting that that is where you choose to get your master's. But I gather you were also looking at public health from a broad spectrum, not just stress itself, correct?
Well, I mean, public health is very important to me in general, but when I went to get my master's, it was in the purpose of starting this business, focusing on stress management and creating that awareness around it for sure.
Awesome. Awesome. So at the time when you were pursuing your education in public health, were you thinking that you would work with stress management patients in a hospital or in some kind of city agency, or what was your focus at that time?
When I first started my business, I was mainly focusing with just moms and parents. And I was really just like going into doctor's offices and really focusing on moms and creating group workshops for them in that way.
Awesome. So workshops, is that your core function each day as you work through your techniques and your practice?
So it's definitely evolved since then. So a lot of what I do now is I go to corporate offices and educate their employees or their employers about stress management in a workshop setting. But I also do a lot of one-on-one coaching. So I still work with a lot of moms and wives in that sense, or I work with the employees on that one-on-one coaching. But yes, it's mainly creating that awareness, but also really creating those habits that you can do every day because it's really big on. I mean, again, like you said, COVID has really like lighten us that stress is here. It's, you know, it's an everyday basis, but what are you doing about it? So that's really what I try to teach is what works the best for you, because I can tell you what I do every day, but that might not resonate with you. So finding out what's the best for you is my purpose.
Right. And what we've also seen through the media and all the various realms of back and forth communication and confusion and misinformation, I mean, that in itself was adding to the stress. So it's amazing how you were probably able to carve out a niche for yourself and actually start to drive a following that would be able to at least learn new techniques, like you said, to relate with it rather than work against it.
Exactly. And new techniques too, or just maybe trying one that you haven't tried before, you know, maybe pushed aside before and like seeing what it actually works for you or not.
Awesome. Well, I understand from looking at your website, which by the way, is called
journeytoyourself.net.
Yeah, I almost said journey to myself.
I know. You said that last time. No, it's journey to yourself.
Right, exactly. But you have a podcast there.
I sure do.
Yes. Yeah. Tell us about it.
So my podcast is called Stress Less with me, Jess. I don't know if you ever seen the show, The New Girl, but,
No, tell me about The New Girl.
It's a super cheesy show. It's just one of those comedy sitcoms. But during the pandemic, you know, we all picked up a show that was mine. It's a real, it's an older show, but I watched it during the pandemic. And so her intro is, it's me, Jess. And so I took kind of like played off with that. So Stress Less with me, Jess, is kind of where that came from. So.
Oh, awesome. That's cool. I guess also when you're in conversation with people, like whether they're your patients or clients or anybody in the workplace that you're helping reduce stress, you could say Stress Less with Jess.
Yep. That's definitely one of the taglines people give me for sure. Yes.
Oh, no. Awesome. I mean, well, essentially, Sam knows that I predominantly started my show, Frank About Health, actually 6 years ago, but it was predominantly about epilepsy,
right?
Epilepsy advocacy. And then I disappeared for 5.5 years because I was actually working out my epilepsy regimen, trying to get tested for things like cannabis, dealing also with Hilton hotels that I was actually working for and trying to promote health and wellness and so forth and so on. And then when COVID hit, it was almost like a calling, you know, get a hold of Sam and come back with Frank About Health and actually still keep with the advocacy, but look more towards the whole broad spectrum of healthcare, from epilepsy to COVID to mental health to even other issues, cancer, diabetes, you know, things like that. But just like what you said, one of my motivations was I was binge watching on Netflix Grey's Anatomy. So Grey's Anatomy was my big thing. You know,
we all had one, you know.
Exactly. I will admit, I started with MASH, but then I guess that was a natural transfer.
Totally.
Right. But what I did find was, you know, considering that I was also dealing with my father who was recovering from prostate cancer and watching other people in my family go through needed assistance in their healthcare, it was like a mission, a calling to do what I can to provide as much information as I can, still realizing the fact that My master's degree is MAMS MBA, but I have a psychology background, but there's no actual application towards it except in marketing and business. Yet, thanks again to Sam, I was able to bring in Phyllis, who is, you know, a PhD and a professional nurse, and she works with various city hospital systems in the city. And I just thought, you know, I joked with her and said, she's my Meredith Grey. So she added the medical layer to the program, which we have been able to expand upon. And going forward, you know, it's like welcoming members of my professional family back into the fold to really do what we can to better help people just be in touch with their healthcare issues and do what they can to own them and find the right treatments. Because again, what is not changed, unfortunately, is misinformation. So at least I think I can see clearly what you're doing with your business and your podcast. It kind of mimics or mirrors what I'm doing. It has its own direction and its own audience base. But I think together, as Sam has always talked about on his shows and when we all, the other hosts and I get together every month, we know that we're one big family trying to do what we can to really get alternative broadcasting out there, you know, just not the information that is being fed on the various networks, because it's selling advertising and doing whatever it's meant to do. But I'm just hoping that, especially now that you're my first guest that has a podcast as well, that people will be able to listen to this show and possibly go to your show. So I'm going to ask you later in the hour to give us some insights into your website as well as your podcast, so that people can learn how to reach you and actually learn how to develop a new relationship with stress. I think I was telling you before we went live on air that I had two stressful moments today that I was almost at a point where maybe I'll just stare into space while we're talking, you know. But the reality is when I'm in the moment, as I am with you right now, I actually feel relaxed because I feel
Oh,
like I'm managing the stress by doing something about it,
yay.
communicating about it, expressing about it. And I would guess that that's kind of my next question. Would you say that a lot of people don't have a good relationship with stress because they just don't know how to communicate, or their own feelings, or their own views on what they're going through?
Communication is a huge piece when it comes to stress management, for sure. And like you said, there's two things to it. Whether communicating to yourself or communicating to others. So it's definitely a two piece for sure. And it's actually, you know, we talked about my workshops before. It's definitely one tier, one module that I completely, fully, hard focus on for them because it's big.
Awesome. Now, what would you say that as you were starting to build your practice and your podcast, were the major stresses that most of the people were coming to you about? I would hope it's not COVID, even though that would be a primary one. What would you say was the next one, the next primary one?
I would say two things. So, kind of picking it back off the communication, but relationships with others, whether it's their significant other, maybe their child, could have been a boss. I've had a lot of those. So, it's usually outside factors. But
Right.
as we kind of dive in and they start doing more of the coaching program, we start to realize more of that relationship with themselves.
That brings up a lot of memories from shows that I've already done on issues with relationship with oneself. But I see we're headed for a commercial break. So that being said, when we come into the next segment, I'll probably recap some of those episodes so then we can go towards really learning more about your podcast and just overall stress management. So, ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned as Jessica and I are here to talk about mental health and stress management right here on Frank About Health, both on talkradio.nyc and Facebook Live. So stay tuned.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Thank you. everybody, and welcome back to Frank About Health. I'm here with Jessica, and we were talking just in the last 15 minutes or so about her new podcast. Well, it's actually been around for a while, but it's new to me. It's say it again.
You say it eloquently. Stress Less with me, Jess.
Awesome. Awesome. So as many of my listeners and viewers have watched over the past 6 months or so, I have mainly talked about personality disorders like narcissism and PTSD. I mean, COVID was in itself a traumatic time for all of us, and we all dealt with it differently. But we do know, as you have discussed, that a lot of stress is either within oneself or your relationship to significant others, or ways of trying to improve on it, especially if the dysfunction within the relationship is adding to their stress or creating stress. So while I have talked about those on my show, the only thing that I was able to succeed in doing was bring awareness to it. Now, my dear friend Solange Pilizoda had spoken about PTSD last July, and then I had a victim of narcissism speak on two episodes. One, she was anonymous, and the other one, she came back with another case of a person who used her creative poetry and lyric writing to be able to go ahead and just reduce her stress over what she was basically the target of a bully. So yet, while that had been a constructive way, all I could do was show examples of how one can try to help reduce their stress, but they had to have the mindfulness to do that. And I think you are probably best suited to actually bring that more to the forefront of various people and their attention, especially when they're going through stress and maybe don't even understand it. So that being said, why don't you give me a little overview about your website, your podcast, your practice, and tell my listeners and viewers out there what kind of services that you can offer to help people reduce their stress.
Yeah, of course. So on my website, it's called Journey to Yourself. And so it has, like you said, resources on there. So I write blogs. I try to do them monthly. I have other resources on there, such as people that I vouch for, that I feel like if I can't benefit you, there's somebody else that benefits you. Also, like you said, my podcast. So it's called Stress Less with Me, Jess. The first season, I really talk about all the little tips and tools that you can do, which I can get into in just a moment. The second season, I really focused on hobbies. I feel like a lot of us do not have hobbies, but they're very important when it comes to handling stress. And my third season that I'm working on right now is interviewing business owners and entrepreneurs, talking about how their business helps others relieve stress. So, you know, it could just be something as simple as you're a podcast creator and, you know, what are you doing to educate others? So it's you know, it all revolves around stress. There's definitely different ways to manage stress. And so that's basically what I do with my coaching program. So like I said, I go into the corporate offices and I educate the employees, or I work with you on that one-on-one basis. So like I was saying earlier, there's that relationship. So a lot of my clients are coming in because of outside factors, such as that relationship with others. And so I really try to bring it back to them, because my biggest thing I try to teach is we can't control others, right? If I do this, I can't control the outcome. A lot of us want to say, when I say this or when I do this action, this will be the outcome. And that's not how it works. I wish that's how it works, because life would be so great.
Right.
That's not how it works. And so what I can do is work on myself and work on the boundaries I set for myself. I can work on the communication I set for myself, the standards, right? The hobbies, the practice that I do for myself every day.
Right.
And how that then helps relationships outside of you is, if I show myself this much respect, you will then meet me either there or above, right? So if I set myself real low, you're going to be like, well, that's easy. I'm going to go right here, right? So most of us, and we usually set the bar pretty low when it comes to our own personal respect. So
setting
that bar a little bit higher. So basically, how does that go hand in hand with stress, self-love, self-care, communication? It's because that's where stress comes from. It's what we're perceiving it as. If you called me or wrote me an email or wrote me that text message, how many times have you reread it going, oh, she's yelling at me. She's screaming at me. She doesn't like me. Oh, she's mad. She's totally mad. She's about to scream at, you know, we paint this picture in our head.
Right.
But when I have that certain self-respect, when I have that certain boundaries for myself, that certain confidence for myself, I'm going to be able to read that a little bit differently. Right. So that's kind of where, and you know, I know it's a small example, but that kind of where it builds off from. And so I really do focus on those small examples because those are the small ones that are every single day. We can list all the tiny woes in our life, right? I know you mentioned some big woes in your life, but there's a lot of tiny woes, right? And so right. Learn the healthy ways on how to handle the tiny woes. It'll be a lot easier to focus on the big ones.
Well, I guess on that note, it's like the one thing that you probably do in your practice is make everyone become more in tune with themselves and their perceptions and how to grab hold of whenever there is this anxiety provoked response, probably due to their thinking. That's like some point where they grab hold of it and change their thinking so that they can therefore react to the stress, test it for if it's a real stress issue or if it's something that can be managed. That must take, I don't know, weeks or.
Sure. It's definitely a practice, right? But this is the thing, you say there's a timeline on it, but there's not. It's something you have to do every day. And that's where the frustration comes from, right? You don't just learn this technique and then you put it in your pocket and it's done. It's something you have to practice every day, right? Your mental exercise is just as important as your physical exercise, your eating exercise, right? Just because I went to the gym once this month, I'm not going to have my abs for the summer, right? It's something I have to, probably not going to have abs this summer. It's fine. But you know what I mean? But it's fine. But it's something you have to do every single day. For me to be healthy internally, it's me eating healthy every day, right? So it's the same thing when it comes to the mental practice is, and that's where, again, where a lot of the frustration comes from is, oh, well, I did the journaling. Oh, I did the meditation, or I created this hobby, or I did this, right? I communicated this way.
Right.
But the issue really lies when we don't continue that practice. And so that's where the issues come from. But you definitely said something in the beginning too, when you started talking was, I created in my head, right? We all have that story in our head, that inner dialogue who is just right. talking to us all through the day. It's probably talking to you as you're listening to this right now, right? It's just talking to you, right? But kind of, again, I like the text message, you know, scenario, because I feel like we've all been there when we read that text message and we perceive that they are mad at us. So now we're going to find that evidence. So we're going to think about all the previous conversations from like months ago. And you start going, well, that's it. They must be mad because 6 months ago, she made that one eye twitch. So I know she's still mad about that. And it's like, no, she just texted really quick. And now she went back to her day. Right. So it's, you know, when we change that mind thinking of, oh, I'm awesome. I'm smart. I'm talented. I can succeed. I'm good at this, right? We're going to start to learn to find all of those reasons and evidence to prove that.
Right, right. I mean, it's very interesting because like I've said on my show with PTSD, it could be a traumatic event that just not stunted your thinking patterns, but limited them so that you go through this automatic recycling of the past when you're in a current situation that you're not even looking at. And that creates a split that doesn't allow the individual to actually take a look at a text, like in that example, and actually question where it's coming from, rather than reverting to the default, that's where it came from. So it's like it's almost like technology was not only a revolution that we all had to deal with during the pandemic, but it became a revolution in how to change your own thinking style. You know, now on one level, that could be a prosperous thing, especially if you're in the school years and still learning technology, you know, before you get to college, before you get your first job, because everyone's mind is like a sponge at that point. So learning to change and your thought process and whatever is pretty quick. You know, unfortunately, though, technology has also made things very extreme. So you lose the human component. So I think that it is an issue where maybe your workshop, your practice is able to bring people into a centered sense of the moment and let the past be where it is, or as a resource, not something to rely upon, and build the future as it's also building on its own. Because you can't control the future. The future is going to happen. It's just that it brings me to that quote John Lennon once said, life is what happens while you're making other plans. So if you're on this journey, all you really have is the present. Yeah. You know, you're coming from the past while you're going towards the future. But while people have been trained, probably because of the media, society, their upbringing, whatever the circumstances may be, they basically already assume the future is going to happen the way they think it's going to happen. And if they're already primed to think negatively, then it's a dark future. You know, so to allow the moment to be your temperature gauge, to be able to even adjust at each second, a different way to look at the stressful event or at the positive situation and be able to own your own outcome. I think that is the secret sauce in all of this, correct?
Oh, for sure. And again, you said so much there, all good stuff. You know, you said a lot of about bringing out the PTSD, but you also mentioned that we all have some type of trauma, right? We all went through something growing up, you know? And so without saying who is worse, I always say pain is pain, right? So whether I stab you in the shoulder, or I stab you on this side of the shoulder, it's still going to hurt, right? So you might get two stabs. I have one stab. It still hurts, right? And so I think that's the biggest thing, because a lot of times when people go through these traumatic events, they go, oh, well, they had it worse. So I'm just not going to talk about it. I'm just going to push it down, right? And so I'm just going to live with this anxiety. And it's really not fair to that person, because it still hurts. You're still on the bathroom floor crying. You're still looking not to feel numb anymore. You're still looking to feel loved, right? So you're still looking for the same things that maybe that person that quote unquote had it worse than you, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not about comparing. It's literally about yourself is like the biggest point there. But you talked a lot about, you know, bringing yourself to the here and now moment. And that's really hard for a lot of us, especially in the beginning, right? A lot of us really think about meditation, which is like the go-to, right? But when you are going through anxiety and you haven't experienced meditation before, the thought of sitting in silence is freaking scary.
Exactly.
And so as much as I believe in meditation, as much as I love it, I think in the beginning, there's a couple other things you can do. And so that's where I really focus on one of my clients is that what can you do to get from A to B?
Right.
And I think meditation and all that stuff, even yoga, sometimes it can be more of a B because it is a lot of awareness. Mm-hmm. It is a lot of trust. It's a lot of not thinking about other people going, oh, they're going to think I'm weird.
Well, that's kind of interesting that you just said that though, because a lot of people who are probably primed to not being in the moment are highly dependent on the outside forces and outside people to kind of spearhead their focus. And that's just like that, dependent. It's not going to really help no matter what you do, unless they have a way of being able to know, like the old adage, you come first before anyone else when it comes to your health.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate that I guess we came from a society or a system of upbringing or whatever it might be that just helped us learn to be dependent or helped us to depend on the process rather than to own the process. That whole mindset shift, well, technology is forcing it. But the thing is that it's like a must at this point, in my opinion, you know?
No, for sure. For sure. It's definitely huge. And it's definitely needed because like you said, we look for a lot of outsourced reinforcement, right? I'm doing a good job. Oh, I want my boss to see that I'm doing a great job. I want my husband to see that I cooked and cleaned and did all this stuff today. But what we really forget is that everybody has their own inner dialogue. We forget that someone else is, you know, spinning around as well.
Exactly. Well, speaking about inner dialogues, we're about to have another break. So we're going to hear some dialogues of other shows on the network. And then in the next 2 minutes, we'll come back and I'm going to share the screen and show your website. And you can, as I go through it, you can discuss the features of it and how people get a hold of you and learn more about your overall stress management workshop and practice. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned with me and Jessica right here on Frank About Health, and we'll be back in a few.
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And I don't know if you can see us, but that's okay. We're here to show you journeytoyourself.net, which is Jessica's website, which outlines pretty much how we all can begin our journey to reduce stress and have a whole managed process in making sure that we can live with the stress triggers in our life while not having all the massive anxiety that a lot of people are currently engaged in. In addition, we see links to her blog and podcast and other testimonial. So I think, Jessica, at this point, why don't you walk me through your site and I'll just take the little cursor and go to the various pages that you want me to show the listeners and viewers.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, on the front page, so if you like right there, it says download my free time management guide. So basically, that's just a little preview on, you know, how to even fit yourself into your schedule. So it's, you know, I'm telling you to fit yourself into your schedule, but how the heck do you even do it, right? So right. That right there, put your name, email, bing, bang, boom, you can get a free pamphlet on how the heck to even get started. So that's my biggest thing. If you want to.
Sure. So go back. Yeah. And then the next thing is that we basically learn more about you and the company.
For sure.
Individuals, business and speakers that can begin the journey with you.
Yep.
Events. I gather this is where you're speaking and other kinds of conferences that you do.
Sure.
Are these predominantly corporate events or are they also individual events?
Those are events that people can join. So they're not my corporate events. They're the ones that like, so this one's in June, I'm going to be speaking at a women's mental health conference that I'm going to be speaking at.
Very nice. There's self-love over stress. It's like, that's an example of really having a relationship with it and working through it. I like that.
Sure.
And then of course, there's the podcast. As it says here, Stress Less with Me, Jess. And wow, yes, I see you have season 3. How many episodes is a season for you?
It's varied. I'm on a new one. This one's kind of really taken off. So this one's definitely my largest season by far. I think my first two seasons were probably about 20 each. So nothing.
Great.
Yeah. But this one's definitely, I'm booked out till about April. The fall. So that one's definitely taken off.
Well, awesome. How many followers do you have at this point after 3 seasons?
I actually don't know how to tell that. So I don't know.
Okay. Do you get a lot of feedback? I mean, people emailing?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It gets sent out every week. So I definitely get emails on a weekly basis about it. So which is nice.
So if I wanted to go onto your podcast, I would just go through your website or would I actually go to any of the services I see?
Yeah, so I'm on all of these services. So all you have to do is search Stress Less with Me, Jess, and I'm on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, which is the one that usually just comes with the iPhone, Google, Spotify, all of them. So, yeah.
All right, you have plans to go into TikTok?
I'm on TikTok as well, yes.
Awesome. Well, you are my second guest that has come from TikTok, Maggie Berghoff, who came around Christmas time. She was a nutrition advisor, and she wrote a book, New Year, New You. That was able to, you know, just have the chocolate cake and have all the champagne during New Year's Eve and stuff like that. But just remember why you're having and consuming the product, whether it's to escape or whether it is to just enjoy it, you know. And again, another aspect of understanding your relationship, I guess, first with yourself, but then at that point with those substances or those issues that are either there to relax you. Or to, in your case, to, you know, those issues that are stressing you, how to relate to it better so that you can reduce the stress. And then I guess your blog is where you also summarize a lot of the stuff that you're working on, correct? Yes, time exactly. management.
Yes.
Oh, time management is definitely a stress trigger for me. But, you know, it's coming together. All right. Speaking about coming together, I'm going to stop the share and come back. So just kind of curious because I'm not actually looking at the Facebook right now as we are streaming. When you saw me share the screen, was it just your website or were you able to see our faces on the corner? Because I'm trying to understand how the viewers that are watching this episode would best engage with you through the site.
Yeah, so we saw the share screen and then we're up on the right-hand corner.
Oh, okay. All right, good. So at least we were not just poof, disappearing.
Yeah, still hanging out.
Exactly, good. So no, either way, the thing is that I'm very interested in how you've set this whole thing up. I'm kind of curious, are you on your podcast on a weekly basis or is it like daily?
Weekly. It's weekly. Yes.
Okay. So it's a scheduled day or it could be just once it's done?
So for the couple of episodes up till now it was every other Tuesday. But starting in May, it's been every Tuesday.
Very nice. So yeah. You've heard it right here on talkradio.nyc. On Tuesday, you stress less with Jess. And on Thursday, you get Frank About Health with me and Dr. Phyllis.
Yes, I love it.
Exactly. And hint, hint, which we've already spoken about, so it's a hint to the audience. I'm probably going to expand Frank About Health in the coming months to include a seminar series with Jess, who will probably show us some stress management techniques, but nothing planned just yet, just anticipated in the near future. And overall, what I have been mainly trying to do over the past 6 months in particular is take my platform, which has been predominantly during COVID times and during rehashing a lot of the epilepsy issues and you know, doing what I can to advocate for people dealing with Omicron and other kinds of things. I'm now trying to make it more of a webinar platform, a possible medical platform for caregivers, nurses, med students. And if everything works out for me in the coming weeks because of a pending negotiation I have, we're going to be able to really take this program as well as any of the people like yourself who've been on the program and expand our audience further so we can really do our best advocacy management or even healthcare provision. You know, I kind of find myself in the middle somehow because not being a doctor, it's not like I can practice the treatments, but I'm just hoping to do best what Talk Radio NYC always talks about, which is to help advocate, educate, and inspire people to do what they can to really take ownership over the current health issues, because we know just like COVID isn't going away, we're learning to live with that. Stress is going to continue to fluctuate, especially when we hear news about things like the war in Ukraine or inflation or crime in the city. I mean, it's like sometimes I just change the channel and go right to Grace, you know, because at least I know there's treatment going on. No,
right,
but I think the thing is that it must also take an individual such as yourself to have gone through critical moments in your life to really start pursuing it as a profession. Did you, or I know you went for an education in public health, but did you share what was the main stress in your life that led you to this point?
I would say the biggest one, like I said, is when I started working in the drug and alcohol field and I saw that the main factors was, you know, everyone was coming to stress, whether it was us teaching them new habits and then they were going into the real world and learning that they needed stress or like learning that they were relapsing because of the new stressors in life, or the reason why they even started the addiction in the first place was because of stressors in life. But I will say, you know, I did start, I went to the addiction field because I grew up in an addiction household. So I will say that's kind of where a lot of this did stem from, in the sense of the self-love, self-care movement in that sense, because, you know, and not being able to control the outside factors. I will say I did learn that at a young age and wanted to teach others, you know, even though I grew up in that household and grew up in, you know, not a privileged household at all, you know, I was definitely wearing my brother's clothes. There was hand-me-down clothes, you know, so, okay. You know, it's not, I wasn't given that spoon, but I didn't go through the addiction route. And so I wanted to figure out why. So
that's very interesting. You kind of bring up a good thought. I've always had this theory that people who become, whether it's advocates or vigilant about trying to resolve all the confusion that's out there, or even trying to be a caregiver if they can, or actually become doctors. You know, there definitely is some individual trauma or event that comes into one's life to make that your calling. I guess it just depends on how deep it resonates with you. So if there's anyone who really learns how to get in touch with themselves sooner, I believe it's probably those that are big advocates and people in the health field.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I would say definitely. I mean, we all, again, going back to what we were talking about at the beginning, we all have some type of pain, experience, trauma in some way or some form. No one just lived some sunshine of 75 life. Like it's not a thing, right? You know what I mean? And so, like I said, you know, I wasn't given all the tools, but I definitely learned because of my environment in different ways. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, like my brother, he's in IT. So he's helping people in a different way, I guess, but you know what I mean? So we all have our part is basically what I'm saying.
Correct. And then sort of like even what I heard in Sam's show this afternoon, his guest, Dr. Dorothy Martin-Neville, had indicated that there's just a fractured sense of community out there. And when you have people with various skill sets and career pathways, like your brother in IT, or my sister who's an attorney, or even just in general, myself, who's been all over the place from the entertainment industry to the hospitality business, all of a sudden now becoming a healthcare advocate, it's like we all should learn to build a community together, that even if healthcare or advocacy is not your strength, at least what you do can help support the cause if collectively the mission is the same, to really improve people's lifestyles or relationship to stress or even just their overall quality of life.
No, for sure. It's definitely an environment factor. You know, again, going back to like one of the things I teach, we talked about communication. Another module is definitely environment. And again, that's, you know, who you hang out with, but also like in the organization, but it's a lot of who's in your life, you know, so who's your support system? Who are you leaning on? Obviously I talk about, you know, leaning on yourself and things like that, but you know, it's not a one person show. So I, again, going back to my upbringing, it's because of a lot of people in my life for sure.
You made an interesting quote that I don't know if any of the listeners got out there. It's not about yourself. So therefore you narcissists out there, you're in the wrong show, unless you're able to somehow come down to earth and relate to each and every one of us. Okay, we're headed for another break. I guess it's this interview has been pretty quick. I really enjoyed speaking with you so far. Definitely gonna highlight what's for the future of your practice and the future of Frank About Health in the next segment. So ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned right here on talkradio.nyc and Facebook Live, and we'll be back.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Calling all pet lovers.
Pet Avengers, assemble!
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey Hey, everybody, and welcome back. Jessica and I are here to talk about the future of Frank About Health and Journey to Yourself, right?
Yes, you did it.
All right, yay. All right, give me the yummy. I'm kidding. That all being said, one question I did have for you before we went into break was, do you find, especially since you said you came from a family with addiction, that there were genetic reasonings for that experience, or at least genetics within you that learned or taught you that this is not where you wanted to be, that you wanted to actually manage these issues?
So in the question of genetics, are you saying like, do I have an addiction or?
No. I mean, one has said that addiction sometimes is genetic, depending on what that addiction is. But I'm just curious to know that, I guess maybe sometimes our DNA communicates to us in different ways. Sometimes it's through the stress. But yet, like, I know that when I was witnessing a lot of stuff going on within my family situation, not to mention I have genetic-based epilepsy. So that being said, I was always very hypersensitive to sounds and light and even my own intuitive responses to stress. So whether I was always concerned about that being a trigger for a seizure, I converted it over to being a trigger to take action. And so what I was thinking is that when you were realizing what you were living with and coming through and trying to take ownership over keeping yourself with the proper boundaries from that background, do you think that was genetically motivated? I don't know, from your inspiration to pursue public health, or even just your curiosity as a, maybe as a young, child or a teenager, that maybe you wanted to understand why this was happening and what we could do to change it?
I would say the biggest piece of probably why I am where I am is because I was kind of pushed by outside people in my life, and they were trying to tell me that I had the choice on what road I wanted to go down. And, you know, a lot of it was like, if you don't like what you see, you don't have to do that. So what can you do about it? So that was put in my head at a very young age, and I kind of ran with it. So I will say that definitely helped me in this route, in the sense of the public health route. Like I said, it was more of like what I saw when I was working with clients, and obviously in my own personal life, you know, with my family and friends and things like that, you know, learning how to be in control. And I think that's a lot to do with stress, because we, like we talked in the beginning, we want, if I do this, it will control the outcome. Right. So
right.
Learning how that actually works in real life and how you can use it to your benefit, I think is really important. So that's what I really try to highlight. In the sense of genetics, I mean, yeah, definitely. I think, you know, addiction can run through your family through genetics for sure. Does it always have to be drug and alcohol? No. And I think that's where the bad rep comes from. Right. I will say, like, for me, I am a huge reader. I'm a workaholic, so I'm always working. Since I've started my practice, I've definitely found my boundaries, but that was one of my things when I started my practice and started really learning what I wanted to do, was learning, again, that self-awareness for myself. So working and reading was my out, not thinking about what was going on, right? So some people binge watch, some people eat, right? There's different ways for that addiction to form, but a lot of times we just think about the drinking and the drugs, but we can do it in different ways. It doesn't just have to be that. So what does that look like? I mean, exercising too much, right? There's always too much, right?
Right.
So what does that look like? And that, for me, I will say it was definitely working more jobs than I needed. And if I wasn't working, I was like, oh, well, I just have to read something. So yeah.
That's interesting. But they were positive addictions in your case. And again, it seems as though, and correct me if I'm wrong, but in listening to your story there, anyone who was probably always exercising too much or working harder is still operating not in the present. They're thinking towards the future. Am I correct?
That or avoidance, right? So think about what addiction is.
Good one.
Avoidance, right? So Me, I was working more so I didn't have to think about things that are going on at home, right? So when you're in the gym, maybe you're working towards some type of goal, but you're avoiding something. You're not dealing with something. You might not be processing something. And I'm saying this in a healthy, right? You should be working, right. You should be exercising, but there's always that too much, right? You can eat too many carrots. You can eat too many apples, right? There's always too much, right? So what does that too much look like for you? You know what I mean? And the case that, you know, awareness comes in and wondering why I'm doing all of this, right? So, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, right? We're avoiding things, right? So things like that, you know, if we're doing that too much part.
Very interesting. I mean, I guess if anything, if you would give advice to any of the listeners and viewers out there as to be more in touch with themselves before getting to the too much part or before being beaten down by stress, what would you recommend people to start looking at on a daily basis within themselves? One thing.
Yeah, it's really hard, right? I would say 1 to 5 minutes with literally just yourself. And I'm not saying meditation. I'm literally just saying with your thoughts. Like, so I always recommend journaling, and I'm not saying like, oh dear journal, I was on a podcast with Frank today. Like, I'm not saying that, right? I'm literally just saying like, what is on your brain? Get it from here and out, right? So just literally just, you know, processing it. I was on a podcast earlier today, and that's what they're talking about. Like, how do you process? So literally me saying, get in an argument with your significant other. Couple hours later, I still feel it in my gut, right? I'm just like, well, they shouldn't have said this, and maybe I shouldn't have said that, right? You replay the scenario in your head. If I write it out, I'm going to process this. What part of this makes me frustrated? What action step can I do, right? In the sense of working, right? So I had a meeting this morning, and the person just didn't show up. Well, there was a miscommunication, but the instant thought is, oh, well, she doesn't want to meet with me. She, you know, she is just too busy. She's careless, right? You can have all these thoughts, right? So it's going, okay, well, Jess, what can I do? Let's have this process. Let's have this 1 to 5 minutes. So checking in with yourself throughout the day of literally like, hey, how you doing? What's going on with you? Mm-hmm. Right. So having that check-in, there's so many ways to do it. I can sit here for another hour talking about how to check in with yourself, but literally 1 to 5 minutes of just going, hey, Frank, you good? Cool. Oh, shoot. I haven't eaten. I've been running around. I actually need to eat something. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, so having that self-check-in is really important.
So like, it's a perfect name for your practice, journeythroughyourself.net. I mean, essentially, everyone has to think of themselves as on a journey, and therefore to include the people around them in their lives, but after they've checked in with themselves. Because I can see very clearly that would stress anyone out is if you wake up and you're groggy and all of a sudden you get a barrage of phone calls and texts and people knocking down your door, hey, I need this, I want this, whatever. You haven't even had time to breathe, never mind even answer anyone's questions. But that seems to be the predominant way that everyone's relating to each other.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And you mentioned technology earlier, right? And so everything's connected, right? Just right now, I have my cell phone, I have my second monitor, I have my laptop, I have everything's connected. So if I was getting a phone call, all three of these, and people have like the Apple Watches, everything's going to be connected. It's connected to your car. And so when someone doesn't answer and you have all these forms of way to be contacted, it's like, well, why is that person not answering me? I don't care. Or, you know what I mean? Like if I'm in between meetings and I have to like take a break, I put my phone on silent. Right. And so I'll get the questions. Are you okay? Why is your phone on silent? Because you can get like a notification saying that someone's on silent.
Yes.
Because I'm taking time for myself and it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Right.
And exactly. So
that's the biggest thing I think with, especially with the technology and being on point, you know, a lot is easier said than done, depending on your job. If you're a parent, if you're a caretaker, right. So a lot of this is easier said than done, but where can we establish the boundaries that is realistic for you is what you really need to figure out.
Correct. I mean, we live in a wired world that makes us wired. And again, it almost reinforces that you shouldn't be thinking of the now. So everybody, I would take your advice very wholeheartedly that every morning when you wake up, you take 5 minutes, 10 minutes for yourself to start focusing on how you're going to connect with the world out there, including your own family and friends. Now, speaking about connecting with everybody, Frank About Health has been on the air at talkradio.nyc for almost 1 year. On May 26, 2022, it will be 1 year since I've returned from my 5 or 6 year hiatus, depending on who you ask. That being said, I want to introduce to everyone who has been watching the show for the last almost 52 weeks, my website, which I have officially launched. However, in order to do this correctly in the limited time we have left, I have to go there. All right. That being said, everyone can now ask questions after the show is over by contacting me on this email page that is on the sidebar of the website, which is frankrharrison.com. And then if anyone wants to see previous episodes of Frank About Health, here they all are archived. And yes, Jessica, your show will be on this site in about a week or two. And as my website is slowly loading in the brief amount of time we have, what I want to point out is that it is a community that is slowly forming, where I'm going to be able to have people have access to my Vimeo link and download it for their own podcast platforms if they have any. And if this continues to go smoothly, everyone can see that there have been episodes about Omicron, as well as there's Dr. Phyllis with co-hosting with me on things like NLP, as well as the healthcare sector and the innovations in the space. And then, of course, I mentioned earlier about Maggie Berghoff, who has her own TikTok series, and my dear friend Retha Gray, who has been on the show multiple times, worked with Betty White. Those of you may have remembered that we had a tribute to Betty White when she passed last December. And if anyone wants to take a look at the Narcissist show, I've got two of them there. There's the Betty White show. I've also got our caregiving show, which was a two-hour series that proved to be one of the most watched shows on Facebook. There's Retha. We've had the Soul Trainer. We've talked about cancer. We've talked about daring to care. We've talked about mindfulness. We've talked about PTSD. We've talked about autism, cardiac illness, social justice. We want everybody to know that TalkRadio.nyc has been the host of the show for the past year and will continue to be the host of the show. But we want everyone to know that they can reach us through various channels such as LinkedIn, as well as the website frankrharrison.com, as well as to ask questions beyond the Facebook links that we have every week. And it'll come to the email frankrharrison1@gmail.com going forward. Now, I'm thinking we're about to sign off, but before I do, I want to first remind everybody to contact Jessica at her website. Say it again for us all.
JourneyToYourself.net, or my email is Jessica@JourneyToYourself.net.
And stay tuned for next week with Dr. Phyllis Returns, and we will have my neurologist, Dr. Daniel Luciano from NYU Langone's Comprehensive Epilepsy Center, where he's going to talk about various types of seizures. Some of them are not even epilepsy related. And that'll be the first in a series of medically oriented shows that I'm proud to say Frank About Health will start hosting with the NYU Langone Health System. In addition, we will also talk about addiction on an upcoming show, and Retha Gray will return. And more importantly, I'm just grateful to everyone out there who continues to listen to The Conscious Consultant at 12, to Frank About Health at 5, listens to all our other health-oriented shows on Thursdays and our business-oriented shows on Friday, and talkradio.nyc, Facebook Live, and Talking Alternative Broadcasting has been definitely a family for me this past year, and coming out of the COVID pandemic, dealing with the treatments for my cousin and my father, but more importantly, being able to make new friends such as you, Jessica, and doing what I can to continue to help people in advocating for their own health care, their mind, their body, their spirit, and just in general, to be very mindful of yourself. Because when you have yourself, you have everyone else that you need and all the resources that you may not be thinking you have, they're actually in front of you. So that all being said, is there any last comments before we sign off that you have, Jessica?
No, thank you. I appreciate so much taking the time out today. Thank you.
Oh, and thank you again. And I am going to start learning your techniques as soon as I can, especially as I resolve some of the issues that happened with me today. But I'm grateful to all of you listeners out there for staying tuned. At 6 o'clock, I'm not sure what's going to be on, but it'll be an encore of one of today's shows. And we'll be back right here on Frank About Health next week on talkradio.nyc and Facebook Live. Have a good night. We're signing off now. Take care.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Informed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.